August 16, 2017, is the Watt from Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro Show in Pedro. You can hear the construction going on next to Studio Thunderpants here. Not with Brother Matt, but good news about Brother Matt. He's out of the hospital. He's had the hip replacement. And I think next show we do, I'll be able to be once again with him. Although I'm not completely alone. Started the show off with John Coltrane doing the Invisible. But also my guest for this edition. I've been enlightened to fact he liked to be referred to as Bradford Reed, and his proj is Om Slice, and we heard Velour Kirtan from his, I guess it's the eponymous release. It's the first album from this proj.
It is, yes.
And is it the same name as this proj?
No, it's the record's called Conduit.
Okay, see, Howard didn't enlighten me that fact, so thank you very much, most special guest, Brad, for Reed. And you're calling from New York City, what part?
Brooklyn, Gowanus.
Gowanus part of Brooklyn, which is by
exactly.
The canal. I know,
yes.
I played a place, what's it called, Bell?
The Bell House.
Right, and it's near that canal.
Yeah, I'm waving at the canal for you.
Okay. Come up with the, you know, I do kayak 3 days a week. I haven't, not strong
yeah,
enough
you,
to do the...
Yeah, you might be able to kayak.
Not yet. Strong enough to go through the Panama Canal and get to your parts yet. So I would probably have to bring it in the boat. You know, it's always in the boat when I'm not on tour. I hate, you know, the stuff where you got to carry it up on the top with racks and that. Like, that's why mine's only a 9.5-footer, so it fits inside. So anyway, Bradford, well, I want to know, first off, was you always in Brooklyn?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, last 27 years.
Okay, then can you tell me your earliest musical memory?
My earliest musical memory, you mean like going way, way back?
Well, I don't know how far back, but I used the word earliest.
My earliest, huh. Probably my grandmother playing the piano.
In your pad or her pad?
Yeah, yeah, she was a classical pianist.
Ah, so she had one in the pad, so you had music people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's great, that's great. So that's what you remember is her playing, and she was a classical. So maybe
yes.
Some classical music she was doing. So was it an upright or was it a grand?
It was a grand.
Wow, respect.
Yeah.
They take up a little bit of space. And there in Brooklyn,
indeed.
You don't have a lot of space.
In Brooklyn, I actually have the very piano in my studio.
Oh, wow. Play. That's
yeah.
Really bitching.
Yeah. I'm a lucky guy.
Yeah. Okay, so did anyone like her or your parents want you to learn piano?
No. Well, my dad was strongly... encouraged, you could say forced to play, and I guess that left a bad taste in his mouth. So when he was a parent, and he was an amazing, fantastic pianist, but when I came around, he just kind of let me be, and I gravitated towards the drums. And then once that happened, he was happy to, you know.
Well, when did that happen, and how did that happen?
I don't know. I guess I was eight, and listening to The Who,
Keith Moon,
to Tommy, and all the guys in my school were kind of obsessed with Tommy, and you know, us 8-year-olds, and I can't even believe that he took me to see it, but he did. And then you know,
are you
Keith
talking
Moon.
About the concert or that lame movie?
The lame movie.
What was his name? Who did that? He made another lame
remember.
One, like with Sergeant Pepper or something. Russell.
I could
Ken Russell.
Google it.
I think his name is Ken Russell.
Anyway, that sounds
I shouldn't
right.
be making judgments like that. But you were into Keith Moon. Keith Moon got you excited because, you know, Pete Townsend wrote Tommy.
Yes. But the drumming was just...
Yeah,
you
incredible.
Know, that was the shit.
Yeah, incredible.
For me.
No, for us, too. And it's
yeah.
funny that years later I would hear demos that Pete Townsend did for his stuff without Keith Moon, and oh my God, nano-flaccid. So you actually popped for some drum lessons. Well, first a drum kit, probably.
Yeah, there was a drum kit, and then.
Now, where did you practice?
I love playing.
In an apartment in Brooklyn?
Basement.
Basement, okay.
Yeah.
And so that was doable. That didn't drive him insane.
Exactly.
Okay, 8 years old, and he's taking you to this movie. What about records? What was the first record you bought yourself?
First record I bought myself. I'm not sure.
Okay. It's okay. There's no wrong answer, Brad.
I don't remember.
No, no, that's okay. That's okay. I'm going to play the song Broken Face Candy.
Okay.
Let's listen.
Thank you. by the way, you're all going to die. Didn't mean to remind you ever, but it is on your schedule. We'll come when you want. It's always off on you. Now, here on the free left. Crush your head on my left.
Just don't trust me. Rainstorm is wandering across the Pacific. They don't mind welcoming it with open arms and a smile out on Hawaii. After all, the vagaries of nature created the islands in the first place, and history could show that events pulled through there on their way to shape the world. They say that if a mountain is lonely, that it is left in peace, and the heart of the earth is heard elsewhere, and has left a silent rock alone. All the disruptions of fate and all the faults of time visit themselves upon a more worked world, far, far across the sunshine blue. They say that if a forest is lonely, it may be some of the last of its kind for being traded into commodities and transferred around the globe. And I thought my love had meaning across my first easy thoughts in that special strong blue of the morning before the uselessness of the day. They say that if an ocean is lonely, there is nothing that it can do but roll back and forth over the ocean and fill in the deepest places of our dreams. There, under the broad blue sunshine, it's a likely place for a lot of nothing. It rolls along to eventually slap the continents, but stops to kiss a little blue sunny place called Hawaii.
No face would look
Bought for Pedro show, we heard at the beginning of that, Broken Face Candy from Omslide. Then something brand new from Crime Wolf, still a rough mix, but they're working on a new album out of Nottingham, England. Knots, great tune. Shinobi Ninja, I think they're Brooklyn, 2 years, 10 months. Healers out of, Illinois, but just west of Chicago, The Story. Dewey Decimal System out of Cleveland with Hypnotic Tweez, brand new. Mind Jail out of London with Welshman Jamie, his new band. You Were Gone, Boar's brand new album. They're on tour in Europe now, but they're from Tokyo. Kagero, Holly Reeve, lives up there in Glasgow. His latest album, a tune called Softening, and Jack Brewer's cousin Joe Brewer out of Madison, Wisconsin with Blue Sunshine. Rat Party out of Chicago with Snez. This is another rough mix. It's an album in progress called Ain't Got No. And finally, Ohm Slice, Crying on a Train from Conduit, the debut album. And we got Bradford Reed here talking about his beginnings in music. So can't remember what a record you got, but did you do music in school?
I did, yes.
What'd you play?
I played the drums.
Ah, great. So you played in the school band, the jazz band, the marching band, something like that?
Yeah. Yes, I played in the jazz band briefly.
Yeah, right. Usually there's a huge fight for that because there's only one chair.
Exactly. Well, there was. I had to alternate with another drummer, but he was cool, and we liked each other, and we learned from each other. So
in the basement there with the drum set, you had to take lessons. You remember the teacher's name?
I do. It was Mike Puglisi.
Puglisi. Hey, we had a guy like that with that name here in Pedro. I went to high school.
Yeah.
He was the drum major. You know the guy with the stick with the big kind of ball on the end? Was that guy. He balls out. I hope he's okay. It's a long time ago. In school, so did they teach you how to read music?
I didn't learn that until after school, actually.
Yeah, because that's quite a... I know drummers who can read music, and some are really good at it. I mean, it's amazing.
So, I'm not really good at it, but it's a nice window into learning a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, or let's say you want to get into, like, a sideman rock, because producers, you know, time is money. They want, you know, be right on it.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing people can do that. But, it's only one way. There's all kinds of ways to get to music. I'm just curious.
Yep.
If you did that. I know somebody in Tokyo is really good at it. Don't even have to hear the song. Could just look at the sheet music and play along on drums. Which is pretty. And still sound grooving.
Yeah.
So
that's the whole part. Still sound grooving.
Bradford, were you in any bands in school? Like after school? Like, did you bring dudes down into the basement?
Yes, absolutely. In high school, I was in a band called D Minus.
Yeah.
And
who was in the band with you? Guys from school?
Yes. As a matter of fact, and that was a really fun band. And at the time, I was going to school in Pennsylvania,
okay.
And it was, I guess like the Ween guys before they were Ween used to come and like we were really bad. We were like really bad punk band.
What's
and
your first
Ween,
band, right?
What?
It's one of your first bands, right?
Yeah.
So you're really young.
Gene and Mickey used to come with their reel to reel and record our bad rehearsals, and who knows?
Also, this band did recordings.
No. I don't think we did. I think those are probably the only recordings that exist.
Well, they're still recordings. You didn't do
yeah.
them, but...
they weren't too deliberate on our
and
part.
And Mickey.
But,
I think Mickey does fishing trips.
Absolutely, yeah. I've heard that.
I heard that, too. But he also has the band, because the Meat Puppets went and played some gigs. So I think they're getting back into it. Did you guys do gigs in D-Minus?
When I was in the band, we did one gig, and it was at
Was that your first gig ever?
It might have been.
Okay, what was it like? Tell me.
Yeah. We played pretty well, but then I think they kicked us out of the place.
Okay. So it was kind of like sweet and sour.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so the gig went good, but then you got booted.
Yeah.
Why do you think that happened? Too young, or they didn't?
No,
dig it?
Because we were that one. Someone in the band was really rude.
And
said something very rude to the whoever it was who had invited us to play, the administrator of the school.
So maybe that there's a lesson. There's a lesson to be learned there.
Absolutely.
Maybe hold back on the rude shit, or like kind of embed it in the tunes.
Yeah. Or just exactly.
A little stealth. So and now this is when you're in Pennsylvania. When you come back to Brooklyn, how long does D-minus last, just for your tenure there?
It was just like, 10th grade or something.
Okay. So you come back,
yep.
Graduate high school. Are you in more bands?
I was in bands all throughout high school. I would sort of sneak away. I was at a boarding school, and I would sneak away and play in bars.
Oh. And
that was actually really, really fun.
Kind of like Holden Caulfield.
Kind of, yes.
Different. You didn't have one of them little red hats, did you? Anyway,
no.
What was that like? So you don't practice with these guys. You just show up and play.
No. I'd practice.
Okay.
We had a band called The Spread, and we used to play in Lambertville, New Jersey.
Lambertville.
Played.
You know who's from Lambertville?
Who's
Bob
from
Lee. Bob Lee from my Black Gang band. Yeah. I stayed there one night at his Moz pad. I mean, that town goes back to the Revolutionary War. It's got a lot of history. One time I woke up early and I saw two wild turkeys outside in the woods. I've been in Lambertville before. And Bob Lee, who I just did a proj with two guys from Wire called Fitted. They're mixing it. Yeah. So
excellent.
Lambertville, I know of a little bit. Not a lot, but I know a little bit.
We play in New Hope across the river.
Sure. Yeah, I remember that town. That's right, the Wing guys. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I think one of them lives in Lambertville. I think it's maybe Gene. I don't remember. I'm not sure.
Okay. But these are just little pickup bands. Do you really get together with some people to make the band, like a band you want to tour with and make records?
I played in lots of bands, and then sort of my first band that was sort of really an expression of what I was doing was called the Firefishers, and that was in the 90s in New York.
Yeah.
And that was, I played a homemade instrument called the Pensolina. It's like a 10-stringed electric string percussion instrument.
So it's still kind of percussion. It's not like you let go of the drums totally.
No, I didn't. But it was definitely a pretty big departure. It's, it's a open tune stringed instrument.
So what, and a dulcimer or zither kind of?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Then I started playing with Blue Man Group, which is when I met you in Boston years ago.
Oh, by Fenway Park?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they had the Avalon, that club down there, or it was called the Boston Tea Party. It had a lot of names, and there was some bars there, too, and I remember. I remember the time I met the Blue Group guys, and you were one of them. Okay. Right.
I was playing in the band. I played electric zither in the band, and
okay.
I used to play.
It was
that,
hard to
that
tell
that
each other apart because you guys were all wearing that blue paint.
Well, the band wore like fluorescent face paint and stuff like that.
Yeah, and bald heads, short haircuts. But I think that gig there actually was a Red Sox game going on.
Yeah, no, there was. It was outside. And I think you were playing with Nels Klein. I think
it was called the Crew of the Flying Saucer.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, that's why I tried two drummers and it didn't work because they didn't like each other. So I learned a big lesson there. But anytime you get to play with Nels Klein, oh my God.
Yeah, he's really great. You
fantastic.
Guys.
So how long did you do with Blue Man Group?
I was in Blue Man's band probably for like 8 years or something like that, and then I was also played with John Hall. We had an incarnation of King Missile called King Missile the Third,
Oh, right. There was different versions of King Missile. Bradford, wasn't there different versions of Blue Man Group 2 later?
Yeah, but that was, I was, I, it got
you were in the core band. Okay.
I was kind of in the old school, like, I came in after the first year or so, so.
But before they, like, split up into franchises or whatever.
Exactly, yeah. I think there's a Las Vegas one now. I got let go.
Okay.
Which was a happy thing.
And then how was it playing with the Missile the Third?
Fantastic. That was a really great project, and we got along really well, and we never rehearsed, and we made a lot of good records.
I heard about that record. No practice. No, there's guys like that cat in Green on Red. He never wrote down lyrics. He always sang different words.
Well, that's essentially Ohm Slice now. That was one thing that I learned from King Missile that was good. I mean, John would write a lot of stuff in King Missile, but our project is mostly improvised. And Jane, the lyricist and singer, she works mostly on the fly, which is really cool. So it's her passion.
Well, look, we're in the Home Slice, so let's talk about that. How did you guys meet? Is it through the King Missile Third project?
I don't know. It was a really long time ago, just playing around the city, and we've always been pals, and we did a couple collaborations in the 90s. I was doing some records with Hopi Kamiyama, who was a Japanese sort of amazing producer and pianist and noise artist and just all around amazing musician. And so I did a couple records with him. He had a label called God Mountain in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
So Jane, I guess she did some like lyrics. She would do poems in between the songs.
Okay.
And that was our first collaboration. And we were friends through the years, and then We go to this psychedelic summer camp every summer.
What's that?
That's something that happens upstate, and it's kind of the same people go to it every year, and it's you know.
What's it called?
It's just called summer camp.
Okay.
And usually I would play there with a flutist but she moved to Korea, and Jane was, I knew Jane would be there, and I said, Jane, why don't you improvise with me this weekend? And she said, okay, and that was the beginnings of it. And we didn't think we were gonna actually, you know, make a record or really do anything, and then it just started happening. So it was kind of one of those unconscious, just really easy things that just happen.
Just do it, right?
Yep, yep.
And circumstance lent themselves to that, probably.
Yep.
We're at the end of the first hour of August 16th, 2017 edition of the Watford Pedro Show. Special guest, Bradford Reed. Hold tight for hour two. August 16th, 2017, it's the second hour of the Watford Pedro Show.
massive bastard series saying it's going to be a bunch of little bastards playing with Captain America and he's got a fucking orange wig on. We'll be right back.
two, three, four. I can't play big sims, there's things on my lap. There's billions of fragments so perfectly stacked that it's hard. But that's not my job. So we resort to outdated forms. Smoking is turning his rational brain in the slum. Write it down, it doesn't work that way. And if I had the cartoon know-how, and if I had the black lad dad, then I could stand safe on the carpet in the shade of American flags. Beat up those kids, the neighborhood punks, those caricatures of the things that I wanted to be. So bad, but I threw my skateboard away. Stay on, sleeping, learning your own skin. Learn how to shed it, save it, and throw it away.
The snow brought its own light to shine up back to the sky. It bounces back and forth. The snow is its own light. It brought from the sky to bounce back to the clouds. Back and forth, back and forth. It came from the sky. It came from the white. It comes down.
Watt for Pedro show started hour two off with Ohm's Awe from Ohm Slice. And off the air, people, me and Bradford, were talking about my last name. And it's got a, an association to a power unit because of this distant relative. Actually, same name as my father, James Watt. And he comes up with an idea called a governor and a condenser. And he puts them on a steam motor so he can get work out of these things. And so people who do these kind of things gave his name an energy unit. It's, I think it's 745 horsepower for 1 watt. But these are actually before the days of electricity. And not a lot before, but a little before. Ben Franklin with the key and the storm.
So that's your family?
My father's side.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he was from, what's it called, Greenock? And in fact, there's a college there called James Watt. school. And but the title of this song, Ohm's Law, for those of you who haven't had any electrical training, Ohm's Law is P, power, watts, equals current, amp, times voltage, volts. So you can think of, you need a mnemonic device, think of pi. P equals I times E. And that's Ohm's Law. And from that you can derive things like resistance and all kinds of things. Easy kind of thing like that. Now that's in the DC world where frequency is zero. You have to change things when you get into AC and impedance and resonance and frequencies like this. But it's a good bottom line thing. So I was when I saw this Ohm's Law, wow, maybe Brad knows something about this. And people, he told me off air, he actually did take some classes in college regarding the electronics. So, and also to make it work with, because Mr. Franklin said, you know, positive to negative, but actually only electrons move through the wire. But you can do the formula, so it'll still go from plus to minus. Respect for Mr. Jeff Franklin. Only president who was never president. We had Leavell out of London with four more years, part two. Chato Ghetto out of here, the West Side. Monica, Rhythmic Violence. I think I'm speaking at the end of that. They put my voice. Here Lies Man with Eyes of the Law. Spirit Valley with Paralyzer. I think those are both England bands. America's Favorite Locker Combinations from The Breakfast Cowboy. That's a... Brock Ginther, I had him on the show a couple weeks ago with his, he's in the band in Portland, Maine with those guys. Already my memory goes, but check back a couple shows. And this is his other project when he lived, I think it was the other Portland. Don't have a lot of guests that lived in both Portlands. The Disorder with Some. And finally, Ohm Slice, Snow. So let's get more on the Ohm Slice story. So it gets put together by a chance of people meeting each other. When did you get the name Ohm Slice?
Oh, I just come up with that. That was before.
You met the other members?
I was just, because that was when I decided I was going to do things with the modular synthesizer.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So you wanted to define your new music expression by actually the machine you're operating. So you gave up on drums.
No. I mean, I play the drums through the synthesizer. So,
I just
kind of combined it. So all the
sounds, we're not talking. There's no sequencer stuff. This is more like the Kraftwerk of ways of doing electronic. Yeah.
Yeah. Or John Hassell, more or less.
Like Kraftwerk.
And, but did you know that
Wolfgang Fluhr and Karl Bartos, they didn't play sequencers. They actually operated those drum machines.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, one of them wrote a book about Kraftwerk. The keyboard guys got kind of pissed at. And it was kind of his ticket out of the band. Or maybe he was already out of the... Well, they were hardly playing. One of the guys got... the founding members got so much into bicycling. Yeah, there was no more time for music. So they kind of... And now I heard it's just Ralph. They call it Ralph work because he got three other guys who look just like him. But anyway, that's an interesting thing. Where you could take something, because if you want to know my opinion, drums are probably the first instrument.
Yeah,
and
I'm
so
with
you take something that primordial, and then you bring it into a modern kind of dealio using synth. That's a great little hybrid marriage.
Yeah, that was the idea.
And you weren't wearing headphones doing click tracks?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. So where did you record this album?
This was all recorded in my studio in Brooklyn.
So you could do it a little bit at a time, right?
Totally.
Yeah. So it wasn't like massive sessions. It was like, here's a tune, like that?
Yeah, and mostly, like I said, everything's improvised. So,
you know what? Yeah, but still, I mean... It wasn't like one big thing. It's whenever you... No wine before it's time, to quote a great man.
Right. When everything just felt right. And
right. And this is one of the great things about the bad new days, in my opinion. The technology has gotten econo enough and good enough quality, because I really like the sound of this album. And in the old days, you could tell when you heard Pete Townsend doing a home demo for the rest of the band, right? Now you can make an album that sounds great.
Yeah.
Absolutely. People, don't get all bummed out. Sometimes I meet more younger people, and they think, wow, all the stuff's been done already. It's already done, and we have nothing left, and that's not right.
I think it blows a lot wide open, you know, possibility-wise for all kinds of stuff.
Okay, talking about something old, this next tune I'm going to play is called Rusty Ground. Rusty meaning kind of old and out in the rain. What about this tune?
Rusty Ground. That is double drumming.
And ground, are you thinking of like the electronic thing? Earth?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of... There's
a lot
of
Earth.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and maybe it's because of the synthesizer connection, this electronic idea?
Yeah, totally. That's all the stuff, conduit, rusty ground.
Okay. Yeah, conduit, people, is what the wires travel through when they're building your house, like next door to the apartments. A lot of conduit going on over there. Let's listen right now to Rusty Ground.
Thank you. questo pezzo lo dedico a tutti quei berlusconiani come me, diciamo un po' drogati. Elezioni,
cosa farai?
Non voterò più Berlusconi,
cosa farai?
Dai vieni fammi vedere il culo, non ho tempo da perdere. Ma la politica mi ha deluso,
cosa farai?
Mi rimane la pedofilia. A me piacciono le bambine, anche se non parlano. Se sono un pedofilo, se sono un pedofilo, se sono un pedofilo. Ma le bambine mi hanno deluso, perché dopo un po' piangevano. Mi sono dato quindi ai morti, anche se non c'è più carne. Se sono un necrofilo, se sono un pedofilo necrofilo, se sono un berlusconiano pedofilo necrofilo, oh. Yeah, grazie Silvio, anche ringraziamo anche la Chiesa Cattolica. In questo momento Super Freak che mi sta producendo, appena bevuto da una lattina di birra con dentro un mozzicone di sigaretta spento. Allora, quali sono le tue impressioni mentre ti stai ancora sputando addosso? Dai, diccele.
È schifo.
Years of listening to many bullshit. Today I'm persuaded that life sucks like never before. But now I'm ready. Yeah, now I'm ready. I hope the rain will overflow the world. I hope the rain will overflow the world. I hope the rain will overflow the world. And I'll be here with my guitar. And I'm still driving my car tonight. Where I'm going, I don't know. I hope that the truck runs on me, or a cold falls over my car. Cause I'm too much coward to kill myself or to live. But now I'm ready. Yeah, now I'm ready. I hope the rain will overflow. The rain will overflow the world. I hope the rain will overflow the world. And I'll be here with my guitar. Thank you.
I don't want to listen now because I want to stop for you and try.
Watt for Peter Show, you just heard Gravity from Home Slice, from debut album. Before that, some stuff from Italy, the south part. Centauri with Alpha Centauri B. Arabia Saudata Dade. Sorry. Merrick, Frog Women, I Hope. Super Freak ahead of that with Fresica, Lead Me Through Times of Struggle. And finally, Gamoshio Fulvio with Berlusconi Erotico Stomp. I was just there for a wedding. Part of Puglia, huh? Near town. The big town Bari.
Oh, sweet.
And, yeah, a lot of good chow and a lot of good spirit, these cats. It was a great thing to be part of. Oh, yeah, and we started off with Rusty Ground, Ohm Slice. So since you're doing it piece at a time, there's not really one big concept except, you know, you're going to play drums with synths with your friends.
Yeah, but if it's using the same friends and the same synth and doing it live,
yeah,
then it kind of, you know, that sort of establishes a little bit of parameters, you know?
Sure, sure.
Sound, you know, like a...
it gives it some focus.
Exactly.
Like the lyrics, they're all from the lady, right?
Exactly, yes.
Now I'm curious. Did she bring in the words and then you try to interpret it with the drum synth?
With a couple pieces we did that, but most of them she's just winging it. Like the you know, Snow, the piece Snow, it was snowing that day. So
okay.
That's what she got into.
Sure, sure. And in fact, that was the other chunk. The end of the other chunk was snow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a winter tune. Okay. So sometimes she's reacting to the environment that's going on right as the tape machines or the hard drive recorder, whatever, is on.
Yeah, or if we're doing a gig, you know, something that might be going on in the room. You know,
I'm curious about gigs. Do you reinterpret the stuff that got recorded, or is it just the starting point for another improvisation?
We haven't really gone back to anything.
Okay.
And a lot of times, we have a different lineup when we play.
Sure.
It's usually Jane and I, and then whoever joins us. So if people aren't available, they just, you know, we still play, or someone else will come, or, you know, whatever.
Has it ever been a duet?
Absolutely, okay. Yeah.
What's the biggest?
The biggest is me and another drummer, guitar player, Bill Bronson, saxophone, Daniel Carter, and Jane.
So, quintet.
Five of us. And I think we're going to have another drummer joining us as well. So
Sextet.
We'll have three drums. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a little tough on the van. Maybe you need three boats to get three trap sets.
Well, the nice thing is we're just playing, most of the drummers are just playing like one or two drums each. So
that's, there's a band out here the Urinal Guys made called Rad Waste that was kind of like that. They parted out a whole drum set to different dudes. Look, we're at this second hour. The end of the second hour, August 16, 2017, Dish Wap Pedro Show, special guest, Bradford Reed. Hold tight for hour three. August 16, 2017, it's the third hour of the Wap Pedro Show.
Straight to the bottom. Charged with electricity is your crime. don't cry for me. Look at the lovely composition, it's your universe.
For Pedro Show, started off the third hour with Machine of You, Ohm Slice. Bradford, tell us about that.
That's an interesting piece. The in the background is rowing, I had made a video, and it will be up on our website soon.
Now, what's that?
It's ohmslice.net.
Yeah, and spell it for people.
OHMSLICE.
.net.
And so that was kind of a cool piece. That's actually a duet, and that's just Jane and myself, and the there's a rowing sound throughout the whole piece, which is rowing on the Ganges River in Varanasi in India.
Wow.
And I taped that. Yeah.
So you kind of were playing to a click track.
What was really cool about that piece is I said it would be really cool to do a piece with this rowing in it.
Yeah.
And I mentioned it to her. She had come in that day. We recorded the piece, and then it turned out that the piece was the exact same length as the video I took of these guys rowing on the river, and put it all together. And it just was very serendipitously.
Right. Chance. Then we heard Tank Man versus the Tank, Revolt 1989. Where are these guys from? I got turned on to this guy, and I think he's living in Japan now. Fukuoka or something, Kishu. Anyway, Revoluta Roja with Jesus Viena. Viena, I should say. A Race to the Bottom, Godzilla Snacks. Then the Space Pony from Ravenna, Italy, where they got the bones of Dante Alighieri, Drive My Car Live, and finally, Get Matter from Om Slice. Get Matter. Tell us, Bradford.
Oh, Get Matter is, it was sort of an exploration of the world of names and forms by Jane, and that's with Daniel Carter on the saxophone and Josh Matthews joining me on the drums, and we have a lovely video for that with some oscilloscope art.
Oh wow! Yeah.
And
remember that show, The Outer Limits?
Yeah.
Some oscilloscope going.
There's a guy here who lives in Kingston, New York. His name's Jonas Baer, and he makes all of his own video synthesizer stuff, and just makes the most beautiful video art with it. It's really pretty amazing. So he let us use some of that, and Jane's husband let us use some 3D footage he had and some time lapse. So that's a lot of these things are
3D. How do you do 3D? Two cameras?
I don't know. It's like these weird Mandelbrot kind of algorithms that generate these just bizarre looking meteor type of.
I can't even explain
it.
Now, I know about Mandelbrot curves. They don't repeat. They keep being creative. Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously the theme here is there's a lot of science going on, and that's something that Jane and I really like a lot.
Okay.
And it sounds like you do, too.
Yeah. You know what? I just remembered another Bradford I know. He's in Atlanta. He sings, a really skinny guy, Bradford Cox.
Oh.
You might like him. That sweet guy.
Is he in, what's his, is that Deer Hunter or something?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last time I played in Atlanta, he was at my show. He carried my aunt for me. Sweet guy. Skinny guy,
yeah,
too.
They're a great band. I've actually opened up for them once, playing my homemade instrument.
Oh, man, that's great.
Yeah.
We're going to play Paint by Numbered Days.
Great.
That don't sound so scientific. But it might be kind of an ironic title, right?
Right, but she does start out with the color spectrum.
Okay. Let's listen.
Thank you. Thank you.
I might just take you up on that.
Okay, people, you just heard Bradford Reed just commit himself to a tour of Pedro via me. Last music we heard on this edition of the show, Paint by Numbered Days. Ohm Slice started it off. Gymnopedia for tape drum, David Gerard out of Massachusetts for that. Vazadolas from Ricardo Tejero. Sorry, Ricardo, Ricky. Colin Webster, Marco Serrato, and Borja Diaz. I think they're all in Barcelona. Nels Klein from his double album, Secret Love. And finally, Ohm's Life with Ancient Friendship. I thought that would be good to juxtapose Nels Klein's Secret Love as Ancient Friendship. What are the new plans? Obviously, you got this triple drum. Is it Mr. Fripp doing that with his new King Crimson? Three trap sets?
Oh, no, I don't know.
Is different. This is not three trap sets.
Yeah, this is just three drummers.
Right, right. Like I remember Teenage Jesus and the Jerks, it said drum. Didn't say drums. Big Jim, you know, he was on the drum. Yeah. So, because I want you to talk right now about future. Now that this album's done, and it seems like when you do gigs, you're making new material.
Yeah, we're always making new material.
I'm curious, Bradford. Do you record the gigs for ideas about the next album?
Sometimes, but you know, just like a Zoom, you know, stereo thing.
No, what I'm thinking of, about ideas for the, because there's going to be Ohm Slice number 2 album, right?
Yeah, it could be a live thing, except someone else would have to record it because I'm too crazy trying to figure out how to, you know, make my synthesizer not sound, you know, like going completely insane.
You got to be in the performance.
Yeah.
So you need
a remote truck with a 2-inch machine in it.
Okay. So be it. You got it. With a box of Rice-A-Roni, you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, I'm just curious, like, because you obviously you're a fan of improvisation, but would you be into, like, repeating themes or, hey, that's a good lick?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think if some, you know, one of our songs, you know, ended up getting a lot of traction or something, and, you know, I'm sure we would, you know, do a version or two of, you know, different songs if we were touring. You know, because I think that's just considerate to people who really like your music, you know, and they want to see how what was made and, you know,
sure,
what it sounds like live. So I think that's, you know, that would be cool to do with a couple pieces.
Oh, so, because I was assuming when you did gigs, there's no set list.
No, there isn't. But I'm just thinking, like, if we were touring, we would probably end up doing some of the pieces from the record.
I really like the courage. So many people are afraid to do stuff like this. This is balls out. It's beautiful, Bradford.
Yeah, we love doing it. I mean, we really just love playing. And that's, you know, that's the whole thing. And sometimes it's not, you know, sometimes it's yeah, it's difficult.
It's like rolling the dice.
It's rolling the dice. But you know, the more you roll the dice, the better you get at you know, feeling them out a little bit. So you know, your odds get a little better the more you do it.
Sure. That leads me to my next thing. I always ask people if somebody younger or maybe older, whatever, but they're just getting into it, what kind of advice would you give them about this racket, this music stuff?
About playing music?
Yeah, the whole trip.
I would just say do what you love to do and do what's in your heart and you know, if you don't know how to do it, figure it out. But you know, don't let anybody tell you that you have to know this or that or this or that. You know, if it's not something that's part of, you know, where you want to go.
I think that's great advice. Let the freak flag fly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's not just words with you. You do it with action. That's what you do. It's really a beautiful thing. And I hope the Ohm Slice keeps on keep it on.
Oh, thank you so much.
Really,
it's such a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm a huge fan of yours. I would love to tell you a very quick story about something.
Go ahead.
Okay, so when I was in high school, I had actually seen the Double Nickels on the Dime tour. I saw you guys play at the Ritz, that was one of my it was still, I think, the greatest show I've ever seen, I loved it. And towards the end of my high school, I was playing in bands. I wasn't planning on going to college, but there was only one college that I thought I would apply to, which was Hampshire. And so I went to Hampshire for an interview, and it was Halloween, and it was the first Fire Hose tour, and you guys were opening up for Sonic
Youth.
Yeah. And I think Dinosaur Jr. was also on the bill.
That's right.
And it was, again, just one of the most amazing formative shows ever. There were fireworks. It was just, I don't know if you remember it, but it was...
Oh, I remember it totally.
Yeah, it was a really, really great show.
Because they went and jumped on me at the end of our thing. We did the Blue Oyster Cult song. They jumped on me and popped my knee out. Thurston put me in a chair. Well, they couldn't see through my Levi. They didn't know what happened. It wasn't on purpose.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there was a lot of pain involved, but I will never forget that gig.
Yeah, well, I'll never forget it because, well, also, it was a great show, and then the next day I had my interview, which, of course, I slept through. and, you know,
sorry,
in the dorm, and you can fill in the rest. But, and so I didn't end up, you know, I ended up not going to college and playing in bands for another year. And I think that was a really good thing. And I could, you know, thank you, Mike.
Very welcome. Well, thank you for being on the show. Good people, it's been August 16, 2017 edition of Watt for Peebo Show. Special guest, Bradford Reed, Home Slice. Everybody out there, keep your powder dry.